think we're going to babble here a little bit
before I preach. All right, Psalm 25, if you will, be our message tonight. I like to read in the Psalms, and frequently when I'm reading, the Lord just gives me a message from it or gives me something that when I'm reading it, I wonder, is this going to become a message? I'll start to, you know, jot down some thoughts and then realize that until I'm done, yes, he gave me a message. And sometimes I thought he gave me a message and he just gave me something and it never used it as a message to preach. But in Psalm 25, and for the sake of time, I'm not going to read the 22 verses. We will read them one by one as we go through and I make comment on them. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Sometimes the Bible says we lift up our hands. Sometimes we lift up our voices. Here it talks about us lifting up our soul. Our inner being is lifted up to God. Now you say, well, how do you do that? How does that happen? That happens by a close relationship with Jesus Christ. That happens by a close daily fellowship and walk with the Lord. That the feelings of our heart, we're told that the Holy Spirit is able to help us to intercede and to come before God, because he can take the groanings that we have and present them to the Father. And here's another way that I believe the Spirit works, by lifting up our soul. Now verse 2, the first one that I'll comment on, where David says, no, that's not what he said. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. So here we have a declaration of faith. It is his trust in the Lord. He tells us he trusts in God. O my God, I trust in thee. And of course, trust is dependence. When we trust in something, we depend in it. You know, the classic that I've heard so many preachers use is when you go to sit in a chair, you say, you just trust it. You know, you don't turn it over, wiggle the legs to see if, you know, they're strong. Now, I realize you may have some chairs at your house that would be beneficial, but, you know, in general, we don't check out the furniture we're going to sit in. When you came in here tonight, you grabbed a pew and wiggle it and put a little pressure on the seat to see if it was going to hold you. No, you trusted it. You just went ahead and used it. And that's what David, I believe, is talking about here when he was trusting. He was just depending on God. And he says, let me not be ashamed. As soon as I read that word ashamed, and we're going to read that again in this psalm, I thought of Romans that I'm going to turn to. We'll be back to Psalm 25, so mark it. Romans chapter 1. And the familiar verses, Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So in Psalm 25, verse 2, David declares his faith, his trust in God. And here in Romans 1, the Apostle Paul makes a declaration also, and it is that he is not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Still in Romans chapter 5, and beginning at verse 1, Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And so the Apostle Paul makes two declarations regarding not being ashamed, just as David said he did not want to be ashamed. Let me not be ashamed. And the reason David says, let me not be ashamed, and we see that in the rest of the verse, he says, let not mine enemies triumph over me. David did not want to be ashamed because his enemies had power over him, had influence over him, or control over him. David wanted his faith to be stronger than the actions of his enemies. Now, I know in life there are times when we have enemies. We have people who are our enemies. Now, within a congregation, there are times when some people don't get along with each other. Sometimes for personal reasons, sometimes because of some things that are transpiring, taking place in the work of the church, and they don't get along. Be careful. Those are not enemies.
Amen.
They are just fellow believers, and we have differing views and opinions.
Amen.
Now, I realize if we cannot conduct ourselves like adults in describing our differences, if we cannot cut a little slack to a fellow believer to think differently, then they might feel like an enemy. Now, let me pause here and say, sadly, there are times and situations where there could be someone who is actually acting like an enemy, okay, within the body of Christ. But, you know, from week to week, in general, that's not an enemy.
Amen.
However, what I want to do is have you to not think of another person. And this is true whenever you read through the Psalms. When you, like here in this situation, when he says, let me not be ashamed, a circumstance, a situation, some event you're going through. Let me read it that way. Oh my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my circumstances triumph over me. You see? You can apply that verse. It's not an interpretation of the verse, but you can apply that verse that by your faith, you do not want to be ashamed because this circumstance, this situation you're dealing with, that you've caved into it, that it has overcome you. That would be a shame, wouldn't it? If whatever kind of situation or event, you know, maybe financial, it may be occupational, it may be a relational type thing, whether it's within our immediate home or the extended family. We don't want those things to overcome us. We want to be more than overcomers through the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says in verse 3, yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. It's not us as believers who should be ashamed. Let the shame come on the heads of those who transgress, who sin without cause. Not me. I'm going to live righteous. Not me. I want to stand right. Let the other guy be the one who's ashamed. And that can be if we indeed are approaching things righteously. Show, verse 4, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. So here it is, we're living with a situation, or it may be a person that's a problem. Show me thy ways, O Lord. How do I handle this? I know what my feelings should not be. I know my feelings should not be vengeful. I know my feelings should not be mean or bitter. I know my feelings should be right, but show me,
amen,
Lord, thy way. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all day. Wait on the Lord. Psalm 27 and verse 14 says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So here it is, you're facing a situation or you're facing a person, whichever it is. And sometimes a situation involves a person. And whatever would describe it in your life, the thing is, we need to wait on the Lord. We go to the Lord, we pray to him, and believe me, I understand when you are dealing with an event, when you are living in the midst of a situation, and another person can be agitating the situation, I am well aware that it's not an easy thing to wait on the Lord.
That's right, yes, sir.
It's a hard thing. And frequently my prayer in those kind of times is, God, I need help. I don't know what to ask for, Lord, but I need your help. Sometimes, according to what the situation is and my experience in life, I do know better the kind of thing to pray for. But whether we know what to ask for or don't, we still pray. We still go to God. On thee do I wait all the day of my life. Look at verse 11, Psalm 27, verse 11. Teach me thy way. See, this is what he said over in 25. He said, teach me thy way, O Lord. Lead me in a plain path because of my situation. I'm taking the liberty to apply the fact that, because a lot of times people say, well, I don't have any enemies. I don't have anybody I don't get along with. I have some people I don't care for especially, but they're not an enemy. And therefore they think such a psalm, well, you know, it doesn't apply to me. If I ever get an enemy, I'll know it's there. Oh, but the enemy of an event, the enemy of a circumstance, it can do us in that event or circumstance as quickly as the blow of any person. And so, verse 12, Psalm 27, deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies. Say, is the devil ever behind any of those events and circumstances that give us trouble? He may not have originated it, but he knows it's there. And believe me, he'll use it if he can. We may have created the situation, but he'll use it. And so, verse 12, deliver me not over into the will of mine enemy, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. You know, if at a place of work, you got a situation that just isn't going your way, and it seems like other workers, rather than siding with you, knowing that what you're saying or practicing is correct, for whatever reasons, they join in and jump on the bandwagon against you. False witnesses are risen up and against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. And here it is, verse 13, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I had fainted. I'd have given up. I'd have given in. This thing, this person would have won. But I didn't faint. David didn't faint. He whatever strength he had, he used it. And sometimes we think we don't have enough strength. Many times it isn't more strength we need, it's just to use the strength we have and to quit whining about what we don't have.
Woo!
Okay?
Yes, sir.
What's he say about faith? This all goes back to trusting in God, faith in God. How much faith do you need? Yeah.
Come on.
Just the size of a mustard seed.
Come on.
In other words, not a lot. But it's using the faith we have. What's faith? Trusting God. If we'll just trust Him with what little we have. And believe me, I know. Oh, I know. When you're in that event or situation, and it seems like the bottom's going to drop out, it's just all going to cave in on you, I need more help. God says, no, just use the help you have. Now believe me, I'm not standing up here preaching. I'm down here. I'm talking with us.
Amen.
Oh, you're not talking. Oh, I say something, so we're talking.
Yeah.
We're not talking, but I'm down here because when I hit those kind of situations, you know what? I don't feel like praying. As a matter of fact, I'm about all prayed out. I prayed, and the answer didn't come by the time I said amen.
They that, what's it, what's the next word? Words, wait upon the Lord. What will they do? They're going to renew what? Their strength. Wait. You've heard this one. Weight broke the wagon down. What built it up? Man, you had to have heard this. Weight broke the wagon down.
Patience.
Patience. Build it up.
Okay.
I thought that was so common. I guess when you're 73.
Yeah.
That's common as you think. Yeah. Weight broke the wagon down. Sometimes waiting on the Lord, it seems like it's going to break.
Yeah,
just be patient. God's faithful.
Oh, amen.
God's faithful. And when you don't know anything else to do, just say, God, help. 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 Don't try and think it through. Oh, my goodness, and I'm a great one to say this. Because I got plan A, B, and then in case I need it, I'm going to have a plan C. And, you know, and, well, I don't go getting plans made out, because then that's what you're going to expect God to do, and God might work with
right.
Something else. Yeah, I know it's right, but when you're made like this, and I know there's some others like this here, okay? You know, you got a situation, you got an event, and, well, God gave me a brain, so I ought to use that brain. Yeah, but not in place of God. Yeah, but how do you go about not thinking? You know, I can't put my thinking in neutral. I can't stop thinking. And so then while I'm thinking, I'll say, now, Lord, I know I shouldn't be thinking of the solution, that you have the solution, but you know, God, how I am and how my mind works. And so, God, keep me from thinking what I shouldn't, and lead me and guide me, and just talk to God. Just describe yourself and where you are and how you are. You and Pastor said this on Sunday, you may as well do it because he already knows. And it'll help you.
That's right.
Because what you're doing is talking it out. We know so many times when it comes to problems, if we can just find somebody to talk to and talk it out, well, that's what we can do with our Father in heaven.
Oh, I like it.
There's times where I'll be down in my office and I'll get up and go out to have another cup of coffee, because if one's good, five's better. And so, no, I don't have five. I usually only have three. But I'll get up and I'll go out and then I'll hear Pat talking. I'll look around, and she's not in bedroom, she's not in the living room, and I'm in the kitchen, so she's not there, and then I realize she's upstairs.
Amen.
That's where she has her prayer room, and she often prays out loud.
Amen.
And I'll hear her talking to the Lord.
Glory to God.
And I don't go and listen.
Amen.
I don't listen, that's a sacred time. But I hear her talking to God. She's talking things out. And that's what we need to do.
Amen.
We need to talk things out. When we don't, you know, sometimes you face something and you can just pray about it and you can just have a peace and a calm and you go on living. But then there's those other times where you need to just, and especially when you don't know what to pray for and you don't know how to pray, just talk it out with God. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Now, we're going to look just at verse 6, and then we'll continue this next week. Verse 6 says, remember, O Lord. This is something, you know, David's talking, and he says, remember, Lord. Oh, hey, you know what just came to me? He says, remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. David's saying, now don't forget God.
Right.
Do you think he had to say, remember, Lord? You know what came to my mind? There's a sort of gospel song. It's really just a country song that's got a gospel flavor to it. And remember, I'm human, and humans forget. Remind me, oh Lord. Aren't you glad you came tonight, Jen? You wouldn't have heard me sing if you hadn't come. When I heard that song the first time, I said, well, that's dumb. We don't have to remind God. God will remember. We don't have to tell him to remember. And I've always felt that way about that song. Now, I like the song because I like the tune and I like the words, but I didn't like that thought. But now I can like it. Why? Because David, by inspiration, said, remember, O Lord. I wonder if that could be put to that music. Remember, oh Lord. I don't know. We'll have to work on that. Remember, oh Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. That caught my attention, ever of old. From all eternity, God has had goodwill toward man that he created. A common current saying is, God is good. And then somebody responds, always has been, always will be. And that's what he's saying here in the end of verse 6. For they have been ever of old, his loving kindnesses. God is good. Always has been, always will be. Another way of saying it, God is good, can't be anything else. Yeah, we're going to continue on with Psalm 25, and the next thing I'm going to deal with is regrets, okay? Regrets. All right, we're going to go to prayer groups, and we're going to talk to the Lord about these things.
Folks, I doubt there's a church in Western New York that had a message any better than what we heard tonight.